Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Game 6 against the Celtics in Boston. I'm at that game. I'm playing with the Sacramento Kings at the time. So after the game, I want to say, yo, peace out to Lamar. You know, and then obviously Kobe, if he's like not busy. I'm like, yo, where Kobe? I want to say good game. I'm about to be out. You know, he's like, yeah, he's right there. He's in the shower. That's so I was, you know, I'm not going to go in the shower. There. He was in the shower. I had my shoes got wet. But he was like this, right? So he's like taking a shower. He pissed. Only one in the shower. And he's like this, you know, shower this way. I'm over here, his head is down, just like, you know what I mean? He just lost by 30, you know what I mean? So I tap him on the shoulder, he just turned around with the ice grill, right, like this. And he was shocked, like, what?
What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah. Wrongfully accused, we had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam, you got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
The I Am Athlete Parlay. We've been hot, 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 hot. These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchups, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
It's baseball season. We've already seen a no-hitter. We already seen walk-off home runs or walk-off finishes. Look, all new customers, download DraftKings Sportsbook, the app, and it's a play for new customers. Listen, all you guys are old heads. I get y'all to play already. Make room for the new customers. Download the app and use promo code ATHLETE. All right? If you bet $5 on any baseball team, you're going to get $150 in free bets instantly. This video is brought to you by DraftKings. One of our partners have been partners with us for a very long time. And it's been awesome to see all you guys make a lot of money, especially on all my crazy parlays. But right now, it's about baseball season. If the sports book isn't open in your state, you can still participate in the daily fantasy contest. Every single week, there are going to be millions of dollars of prizes given out. DraftKings Sportsbook is the app. Download that. Use promo code ATHLETE. And when you win, send me a couple of dollars while you at it. Right. Help a brother out.
DraftKings.com is the sportsbook. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay. I Am Athlete all day. Promo code ATHLETE. Let's get it.
Got another great one here, 1979 to 2011, and I'm just going to get into it, Ron Artest, okay? 2011 to 2020, Meta World Peace. 2020 to this moment right now, Meta...
Sandifer, I took my wife's last name.
So, what is it?
So her last name is Sandifer. And
wait.
I got married.
Hell no.
Yeah.
You changed your name again?
I got married, now I changed my name.
Well, you changed, wait, you took her name?
Yeah, and my name, both our names.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah, that's okay with you, Swaggy.
Walk us through the journey,
yeah.
Bro. Like,
I would love to explain to my guy, yeah. Swaggy. Question.
You got married. You got married?
Yeah.
But that is.
Thank you, my dear. Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, for real.
When'd you get married?
I got married, it's going on 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Took her name. We definitely.
Yes, I took my wife.
Let's reverse engineer. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Because that's interesting. You don't see a lot of men taking the wife's last name.
And my last name is Meta Sandifer Artest. So, when I got married, we was trying to, you know, be coming together as partners. Like, so we were just
like Kim Kardashian and West, like that.
No, not like that. Like that. It's just like us. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go to the first one though. Can you walk us through like all the names?
Yeah, I could. Well, Ron Artest, that's my dad, so he's Ron Artest Senior. I'm a junior. Then you got Lil Ron, the third.
So is he still Lil Ron since your name is? Yeah, he got to change his name. Like I don't.
Well, he's 6'6" right now. So, I know. You know what I mean? So he ain't little.
Yeah,
no
but
anymore.
you change your name though. So technically, you're not a junior
anymore. Technically, I'm not a junior, but he's still a third. We didn't change anything like that.
Okay.
He's a third, unless he wants to change it to junior. You know, I'm open to that. It's all good.
So that was the name given to you at birth,
yeah.
Ron Artest. How we get to Meta World Peace?
Yeah, Meta, like, so when Chad changed his name, and that was, he did it in 2007, four, something like that?
Right.
2005. I thought it was dope. Right, so at that time, I was already like on my, I was in my prime, but just doing my own thing. So I'm like, yo, that's dope, I wanna do that. Right? Right, so I was like, that was like in 2006, I think, when he changed his name. But I didn't change it for like 4 years. But then every year, you're going through a different evolution, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So my first name was like So Hood or Queensbridge. I was just thinking about, oh, it'd be dope to have my hood in the back of my, you know, back of my jersey. But then every year you get older, it's just like, you know? You get older, you start evolving, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm like, you know what, I probably don't want So Hood on the back of my jersey right now. Then it just evolves, you know. Started meditating and different things like that, you know? So I said, I'm gonna still change my name, but I'm gonna change it to something different.
So how did you come to Meta World Peace? Like, why Meta World Peace?
So Meta is a Buddhist name, right? So I started to take up Buddhism, study Buddhism.
You went to China or something like that?
I went to China a lot.
Yeah.
I went to China a lot, but I also was, you know, just reading and, you know, going to classes and different things like that. You know, I started doing breathing exercises, you know what I mean? Just like a little little Zen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Got with Phil Jackson in 2010. And Phil was all about, like, you know, meditating and stuff.
Right.
You know, closing the lights, shutting all the lights out. You know, once a week, you know, dark meditation. Right? So that even started to inspire me. We won a championship after the season. I said, you know, I'm going to go through with it. And then it was like, that was it. This is Meta. Meta was a Buddhist name. It was from India, so we had like 1,000 names we was picking from.
Right.
You know, we had to, you know, narrow it down. That took a while. Then we got Meta, and then World Peace just like, just natural, you know?
Right.
We were thinking of some names, but that's how
yeah, it and we'll come back to 2010. 2010 was a big name for you. You talked about meditation. You talked about Phil Jackson, you know, mental health. That was the year. I mean, you became one of the first athletes to openly speak about mental health, so we'll get to that. But first, bro, like, you're an interesting cat. Right? Like, before we really dive into the meat of this show, like, you're an interesting cat. Like, and this may be a very surface level question, but it's like, where do you spend your money, right? Like, we just did shoe cam. We all got on our gear. You got on jewelry. Yeah. You know, you got on Vans with bleach on them.
Yeah.
You know, and we talking about that. You know, you just got on a regular outfit. Do you, what kind of cars you drive home? Like, where's your mindset? Like, how do you...
You know, like, when I first was going to the NBA, I was going to get the Corniche, the Bentley. It was called the Corniche, I think. But then before I got that, I was like, all right, I'm going to do that, or I'm just going to give my family some bread. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that was it, right? So I was never a spender. You know, I had jewelry like a couple times, but I didn't really feel comfortable. So I'm still hanging out with my guys, but I just didn't really feel comfortable, like, wearing jewelry or buying expensive cars. You know, when I got my first contract in Indiana, I bought four cars for $120,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a Tahoe, I had an Expedition Tahoe, then like, just, you know what I mean? Just like, it was never like.
So what you do with your money?
Well, I think, take care of my family. You know, my wife has houses, ex-wife has houses, my son's at USC. You know what I'm saying? Different things like that.
Hey, USC.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like doing different things like that. I'm also doing, I got a couple different businesses and different things, you know, that I work on.
I overheard you telling him earlier when we was out. I didn't mean to cut you off. that some reason he was the last reason why you played or something. What was that about?
Yeah, so this is my guy, right? So actually, so I had a great career, you know, and I ended it with these guys. A young team, man,
right.
Young team, and it was so cool because I wasn't,
See,
we was having a great time.
Yeah, we had a good time.
We had a good time. We was losing, but we had a good time. And, you know, I had some liquor on the way home, you know? And I'll keep it at that, but we, you know, I was feeling nice. It was my last trip.
This
is with the Lakers?
Last game, yeah. With the Lakers, my last trip.
Season was over. If you're on our way
career
back.
Career over.
Yeah. Where'd y'all go?
I think we played San Antonio,
We played Golden State.
Golden State, yeah. And on the way, on that plane ride, everybody was just, like, getting messed up. And we knew we had an exit meeting the next day. So he said he couldn't even talk to us at the exit meeting because I got him too lit.
Yeah, I couldn't, yeah.
He's out like, ended his career.
Magic Johnson and Luke Walton.
Ooh.
You know, they was doing that to me. Like, yeah, thank you, tag team guys. Me. But I couldn't, I couldn't function. Right. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't function. Yeah.
So walk us through that meeting.
I mean, the whole time, I think my eyes was closed, honestly. The whole time, I was trying to keep them open, but I'm just like, great season, right, guys? Right. Yeah, good stuff. They probably looking at me like,
right.
You know? It but it was good, man. I had a great time. You know, I got a chance to enjoy that night with like D'Lo and
He was a great bet.
Yeah,
he was a great bet. I seen Meta come out. I mean, I seen Ron Artest come out one time.
That year?
One time. He was playing cards. That's when he snapped almost and he caught himself. He came back to Meta, but he went run.
I can do that to you sometimes.
He went run. He went full run almost because somebody was too excited and was talking too crazy. He gave him one of these, like, hold on a little. It was what Sean Wood was it Sean
no,
Wood?
It was with the big guy.
Yeah.
T-Rob,
yes. Oh.
I bet you everybody had what?
Well, you know, like guys get so emotional with card games and money. I'm not used to getting just, you know, pay your money and that's it. Like, hey, everything's cool. Yeah. But some guys get really emotional with cards and money.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And I don't like to play like that.
So what happened though?
I can't get deep into it.
Why you don't want to get deep into these conversations?
Well, you know, sometimes the guy, I'm not with the guy, you know, but I would say that I was playing cards with T-Rod. We was playing, and someone owed someone some money, you know, and then when that happens, it's like, just pay up.
Just pay up.
Or if something happened, everything would be okay, you know?
Right.
But I can't even remember, so honestly.
He was the enforcer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. T-Rod was just talking crazy, though. Yeah,
I got a question for you. Have you been in the room? Have you had a chance to talk? What comes to your mind when you say John Green?
John Green, I know, man. Well, he obviously the guy who threw bear at me in Detroit. I was just chilling, man. Well, he's, you know, when I got hit with the bear.
He's the guy that threw it.
He's the one that threw it. He's the one that threw it.
For the documentary, it seemed like y'all was almost cool. Older.
Well, after years had passed, like what happened was, you know, I was furious for years. You know what I mean? Got suspended. Every deal gone, you know what I'm saying? Like literally
the killer. Yeah.
So he might not know. He might be too young. But for the viewers that everybody else,
you're too young.
That, the malice in the palace.
Yeah.
Like explain to them in your terms what the malice in the palace.
Well, malice in the palace. You know, Indiana versus Detroit, 2003, I think, or 2004. Yeah, 2004.
Yep.
And then a fan threw bear. In my face,
John Green.
And I went into the stands to address the issue, you know. And that was it. And everybody said I attacked the wrong person, but they made a $50 bet. So the guy who I pushed made a $50 bet. What happened was, when I'm on the table, the guy threw the bear. So I seen this guy raise his hand, and my whole mindset is the game's not going on. So I'm like, he's cheering because I just got hit, which he was. He was like, oh, you hit him. I owe you $50. Yeah. They made a $50 bet. So that's why. Damn. I ran in that direction, but I didn't like punch that guy or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? I just ran in the direction, kind of tackled him, put him to the seats, and you know, then that's when everything went crazy. And then John came behind me and punched me in the face.
Yeah.
You know, it was wild. But then years and years, that was bothering me for a long time. Like I was depressed. Hell I was killing. Like I was cooking.
He was.
Yeah, I was cooking, man. And that was the worst possible time to get suspended.
why was it the worst time to get suspended?
I mean, I just finished 6th in MVP voting the year before that.
Yeah.
With defensive player of the year. I come back averaging 7 points more and still locking them up. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So now you're talking about, well, what else are we talking about?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What other award are we talking about?
Yeah.
with a league full of killers in that right. at that
and
time.
That was the longest suspension at that time. You know,
it was a long suspension.
It was 86 games.
It was a long. It was.
I feel like they was cracking down on you more than anything. Yeah.
Very tough knowing that you was at the top of your game.
Yeah.
And one little thing, then you sit down 86 games.
That wasn't your fault though. Like
it was and it wasn't.
Why was it?
It was because I ran into the stands jumping over seats. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot. And it wasn't like he punched me, it was bare, so it was. But then it wasn't because I didn't start it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it wasn't because I didn't just like throw some of my face and say, hey, let's get into a big brawl and then take all, you know, lose all my deals and then take my whole year contract. Like, next 2 weeks, no check. You know what I'm saying?
No check.
Like, that's it. I wasn't prepared for all that shit.
When you say, I know you went through this too. So that was the longest in NBA history. I think, Pac, you were the first ever in the NFL to be suspended for an entire year.
Yeah.
You know, I guess my question for both of y'all, during that time, because I think a lot of us struggle post-career because sports is us.
Yeah.
Like, it's our identity. So once you take that away, you lose your identity. Sitting out that year, you know, you mentioned depression. You know, how was that? You know what I'm saying? Did you feel like, were you searching for an identity? I'm gonna start with you and then you go to Ron.
Like he said, I wasn't prepared for it, B. I was 22 years old. I was at the peak of my game, the same way you was at the peak of your game.
Yeah.
And it's just like the lights cut off. You know what I mean? And if you're not prepared, you don't know how to handle different situations when it comes to you. I started drinking more, partying more, doing shit that I don't normally do every day, you know what I mean, to deal with the cope of, wasn't getting the cope of playing football. You
right.
know what I mean? So it took me a little while. I did my due diligence to goddamn check myself in. That, you know what I mean? I had to go through the drive-through, wash me off, you know what I mean, and get back right. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was tough, though. It was probably, but I tell you this, it got me so prepared for when I retired. Because mentally, I knew what I wanted to look like. I knew how I wanted my bank account to look. I knew I wanted to have all my houses paid off. You know what I mean? I knew I wanted all my cars paid off so I ain't had a big overhead. So that standpoint, it helped me in the long run. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I missed like $3-4 million, which was a lot of money back then. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Money then.
And end up giving $19 million back just to get up out of there. That was guaranteed money. Well, not 19, about 10 of it.
Right.
That was guaranteed money. So, you know, it was a hard time, but it set me up for when I got through, you know what I mean? So mentally I was in a different place because I was prepared.
I mean, I remember that year, I also had a music project coming out, a group called The Lore. So I also had they were signed to Mariah Carey. So then, you know, they was a good group, so we picked them up, and that was coming out. I got suspended on the 19th. Album coming out on the 23rd.
Wait, your album?
They had the video.
Not
too.
R&B album, but R&B group. There was like big song with 112.
Yeah.
It was just coming out, you know what I mean? So I guess suspended on the 19th, album coming out on the 23rd. So once I got suspended, it was over. I had to call the girls like, yo, it's not a good look right now.
Right.
So then when I went on TV the next day and I was showing the album, like, I just got to do what I got to do, you know what I mean? Because I'm suspended indefinitely.
Oh, so you started promoting the album while you were suspended?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure it out. Like, you know what I mean?
Why you laughing? It worked for AB?
You can't do no.
Well, he didn't get suspended, but he walked away. He took the shirt off at MetLife Stadium.
What if I tell you I did the same dumb shit, too?
No, you can't do that. Hell no. You can't promote an album after you get kicked.
I did the same
I didn't know what else to do. They said I'm suspended indefinitely, so I said I got to figure it out.
So your mind was like, you know, I'm going to promote this album. Hey, yo, my album.
It wasn't mine. It was an R&B album. It was three girls. It wasn't me rapping. Yeah, it was three. It was three girls.
So when you start promoting it,
it was a good album too. By the way, if y'all never listened to Allure,
Allure.
Yeah, Allure. Listen to it.
He had a truck. Tell him about your album. He had a truck and everything.
Yeah, he had a video and everything.
My music was like, I didn't really take it that serious. You know what I'm saying?
Tell him what you did in
Utah. So it was like whatever. It was like pretty much like.
Give us a few bars.
I enjoyed it.
What he did in Utah was crazy. He pulled up and said, yo, Mormons, buy my album.
He always say that story.
What's the story? Hey,
yo, he pulled up in a tour bus. Swaggy's
crazy.
Big metal face on a tour bus. Yo, Mormons, buy my album.
Yeah, I swear to you, it didn't happen.
I love that.
But he heard the story. The story changed when it got to him.
that story, man.
He told that story on the plane, man. And I can't even control the situation because everybody laughing. Right. You know what I mean? Yo, Melon told Mormons to buy his album.
Hey, yo, yo, Mormons.
Who the hell? That's not how it worked out.
But you said Mormon?
Mormon, yeah.
So what's the story?
I'll tell you the story.
Yo, yo, Mormons.
So check it out. I'm on tour with Jeezy at this time.
Oh, right? My God.
Wait. You was on tour with Jeezy?
Yeah, for 2 weeks, right, with Jeezy, right? So we on tour with Jeezy. We just traveling, and Jeezy got it popping. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Jeezy just, you know, just popping, and we get a chance to go on before him, you know? So we just, you know, going to different parts,
yeah.
And we wound up in Utah. Utah was one of our shows. Wasn't our greatest show. So, you know, it was like nobody there. You know what I'm saying? And then with Mike Jones was supposed to come, but he didn't
Jones.
Come. But Utah was like not the greatest.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest city for that tour.
So that never happened, you telling the Mormons to buy you out.
No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen, man. I just can't control this story, man.
So this year, you know, following the malice in the palace, it was difficult for you. You know, you're promoting your album.
Yeah, R&B album.
Your R&B album.
Get it, listen to it.
Yeah, when you think about where we're at today, you know, athletes feel unprotected. You know, you got Trae Young being spit on in the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
You have CP3 this past playoffs.
Yeah.
His family being touched and harassed, you know, in the stands. You have Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is Charles Barkley, but at the end of the day, people throwing stuff at Charles Barkley, saying different things. And, you know, who else do you have? Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Russ.
It's a lot of tension between fans and athletes. Do you see another malice in the palace happening?
No, I would never want malice in the palace to happen. That's like the worst thing that could possibly happen to an athlete, literally. And I don't think it'll happen now because I think they see what could happen. It's just not worth it. It's not worth missing the games. You know what I'm saying? Not worth missing the games.
Yeah, but there's principle, too. I'll be honest with you. When you said, well, it's kind of both sides. Someone throw a beer on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone spit on me.
Yeah.
Trae Young.
Yeah.
Someone touched my wife, my kids in the stands. You know, we're human. So, yeah, we don't want malice in the palace to happen again. But I think it's inevitable. If the NBA and even the NFL and other leagues don't get control of the stadium, the arena.
Yeah, I look at it as just people are seeing, you know, that this is what happened with me, and then, you know, kind of, I think people want to see, like some people. I don't think it's that bad, but it has been happening consistently with Westbrook, Trae Young, you know what I mean? Like, this is
Isaiah Thomas, remember he walked up in the stands?
Who?
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
He walked up in the stands.
It is happening a little bit too much, but I can't see another. I just can't see that happening.
Let's rewind it back a little bit. You was drafted by Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple questions, but we'll start off the drafting. The rebuilding year, I think Mike left the year that you got there, right?
Yeah.
How was that? How was that getting drafted by him?
It was cool, man. Like, getting drafted, my favorite player. It's like people, I don't know, who was your favorite player, Kobe?
Yeah.
All right, so he's Kobe. I'm like, you know, I'm like a Jordan guy, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, for sure. I'm born in 1979, so MJ is like, you know what I mean? And to get drafted to my favorite team was like insane. I don't know how that felt to anybody else, but for me, that was crazy. But I did want to go to the Knicks, number 15. So at that day, I had the Knicks jersey under my suit. So when I was going to get drafted, I was just going to rip that, you know, just get it popping, you know? So we, you know, trying to bring that championship home in New York, but that didn't happen. That was my fault. I was like going to a tryout and got drunk the night before, and I missed my workout.
But
definitely my fault. Definitely my fault. You know what I mean?
Hold on.
But I think I would have been the next.
You had a workout and you missed. You hold on. They flew you there first of all because they had to fly you there.
Right.
You went out partying.
Yeah.
When you were supposed to go work out the next morning, you didn't even make it.
I didn't make it to
as
the
a
practice.
Rookie though. Not even
not
a rookie
even
yet.
Drafted yet.
Not, like, yeah, not even a rookie yet.
This is in New York. When you go get the visit.
Yeah.
But I live in pre-workout.
Yeah, he's from New York.
Where'd so I was already out.
Where'd y'all go? So
went out somewhere. I went to Flamingos. Actually, I went to Flamingos. It was an old school spot in New York City that people used to go to.
You had the whole Queens Bridge with you?
Not that day. I was still in school, so I wasn't. You know, I didn't have like any money to bring. anybody to the club. So I was just with like maybe a couple people.
Damn. Speaking of Michael Jordan, I heard a story that he was playing with Mike and you broke his ribs.
By accident.
That was the year that he retired, right?
Huh?
Tell us about that story.
You said, wasn't it?
For real, that happened?
That was the same year he retired.
How did that happen?
Well, he didn't retire that year. So what happened was we was going to a gym and it was in Chicago, open run like UCLA, you know, just like Rico Hines runs. Super competitive though. And these runs was like, you know, Michael Finley and Jerry Stackhouse, all in their prime. So when I'm a 19-year-old kid in these runs and we just going hard and I really like the bump and Michael Jordan's there, so it's like, I'm only 19. See what I'm saying? Michael Jordan's there, so it's just crazy, right? So, but I'm playing real hard. And I don't think he expected that, so he would always say, yo, come back, come back. As a 19-year-old, I just had a lot of energy, and he liked the bump, you know, it's MJ. And a young LeBron was in there, he was killing. LeBron was 15 years old, just like killing.
He was 15?
Yeah, 15. He was just like, this kid was killing. He was playing very well. Then one day, me and Michael was just like tussling hard. There's a picture that you see online. It was the same exact thing, but it was open run. It was like, we don't give an inch, you know what I'm saying? He wanted this position. I'm like, nah, you can't have this position. You know what I'm saying? So when I was trying to deny him and get his arm out the way, my elbow hit him in the ribs. Then his ribs cracked. So it wasn't like,
you know. You cracked.
It just, you know. But the crazy thing was, after he went, after he did that, he came down the next play and won the game, crossover free throw. Bang, right? Game over. And then he walked off. And then I got the call the next day. Actually, in the media, it said, Metta World Peace, it said Ron Artest punched Michael Jordan. That's what it said the next day.
Wow.
It said Ron Artest punched Michael Jordan and broke his ribs. So now I'm like devastated. I'm 19 in Chicago. I'm in Chicago at this point, and I'm just like, I didn't leave my house for 2 weeks.
And they love MJ.
I couldn't even. And then Mark Bottlestein, his agent, my former agent, good dude. I couldn't get out the bed, man. I was sick. He said, hey, I got MJ on the line for you. He wanted to talk to you. So MJ called me and was like, hey, Eric, don't worry about it, young fella. Everything's okay. Things happen, you know? And then I was like,
wow, that's crazy.
But then this guy, Sam Smith, you know, he cool writer, but he released the story. I never released the story, by the way. I never said I broke Michael Jordan ribs, you know? Other people released that story, and
right.
I just don't want people to think I'm like trying to make news off that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's not it.
So in that moment when you broke his ribs, I know you talked about the day after. I mean, was there any interaction between you and MJ on the court after he hit the game winner and he walked off, which is a legendary story, by the way?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
That's what we're used to seeing from the Kobe Bryants of the world, the MJs of the world, you know.
Broken ribs, but games you had?
Right.
Game day. And then also, I had some good days. I had some good days defensively. Okay. But the crazy thing was, I thought he would average 35 that year. Because he was out for 3 months after I did that, came back, averaged 25. That's the first year he came back. Remember, he was killing?
Yeah.
He averaged 25.
This is when he's with the Wizards?
With the Wizards. Yeah.
He's like 40 at the time.
He's like 38, 39. Like, he was. So in the gym, y'all, I'm hurt because y'all didn't get a chance to see what I seen in that gym.
Right. Speaking of that, how do you compare the LeBron
at 15?
Michael Jordan? What's the comparison? You said LeBron was killing at 15.
He's playing very well.
When they talk about the greats, they say Michael Jordan, Kobe, LeBron.
What's your
order? Can you tell us your order?
You already know it. He said it. But go ahead.
Go ahead.
I don't think he's going to say LeBron.
I'm going with the win side. My five, Bill Russell, because you can't beat him.
He's number one?
No.
My favorite
player. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
I thought he said that.
No, I was just saying between them three, but you can
between
go.
Those yeah, but that's, those
but go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. Give me your,
if you can no, go ahead. But no, go, three, I, can, I like what he's just saying, because nobody, everybody over, always overlook Bill Russell.
I would have never Russell. Said Bill
so
Russell.
So go, yeah, ain't no, nobody he's really a
winner. He beat Will Chamberlain. I got Will Chamberlain number two. I just don't know who could do what he could do. I got Will Chamberlain number two, and they say it's the older era, but that's the same era that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in. They played against each other. You know what I'm saying? So Will Chamberlain, nobody can stop Will. And then I got, and this is my opinion. Then I got MJ.
Come on, tell us.
It's really hard. It's a hard list. Sometimes I put Shaq number one. Though. Shaq don't get enough credit for being one. He never get talked about as being one of the best players ever. Like, you know, but I think he can make a case that nobody can stop me. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he's not in my top five. I got Kobe. I'm actually, it's somebody I'm missing that's not in my top five, because Kobe and LeBron is always like tied to at five with me.
Okay. Not so Magic?
Magic is like in my like six, five through six.
What about like any current player, like a Steph or KD?
I think a couple years ago, before Steph got MVP, I was like, Stevie P is on my Twitter. I said, Stevie P, that means MVP. This is 2 years before he got it. And people was like, nah, he ain't getting MVP. You can look on my Twitter. Then I said, yo, he gonna be top 15 ever. I said that like 3 years ago. I think he gonna be top 15, top 20 when it's
over. Maybe, why not top 10?
I'm saying, I think he has the potential.
You played with him, right?
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, I'm a football guy. Yeah. Did he change basketball? Like, I always look at guys that kind of like push the sport forward. You know, the Mike Vicks of the world. I mean, you had the Cunninghams of the world before, but like Mike Vick, you know, and then you got even Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, how they throw the ball different angles, et cetera, in basketball. You have, you know, obviously, MJ, Steph now, how he shoot the ball, shooting it deep. Why can't he be top 10?
He could be. But it's just like, it's just tough to add, like compare him to like who you got, Steph or KD? Who you gonna go with?
I'm going with KD.
Like, that's what I'm saying, Steph or Bron.
I'm going with Bron.
Steph or Kobe.
You know,
Steph or Matt Steph Bird. Needs somebody. Like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Steph or Shaq.
Yeah,
I mean, that's you can do that.
Yeah,
but you
that's
risk.
A good way to
lose. That's what I'm saying. It's tough. Like,
you risk losing.
Where you go with who?
So you pick the player, and now just switch that to the team. Who you think will win in the conference finals? Steph's team or those other people's team?
You tell us,
coach. I'm going with
I think Steph is just.
Just had his own team.
This kind of is his team.
Now, but we see him when he had his own team, but without like that help.
Draymond, he's winning with a 6'6".
When they lost, when he didn't win a game, like two years ago.
When it was really bad?
Yeah.
But everybody was hurt. Like,
that's what I'm saying. You're saying Steph on the team with just nobody, and KD on the team with just nobody. Who will win more games?
I like KD's game. All right, but I'm just saying, like.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
But Steph, when he's proven that he's winning without anybody.
Going back to, you know, you in these conversations, Jordan, LeBron, et cetera, you played against LeBron, MJ, Kobe, and KD.
Yeah.
Now you had MJ when he was with the Wizards, but like you just said, he could have averaged 35 that last year. Who was the toughest to guard?
I think MJ was always the toughest for me. Because even though he was older, the way he moved, he was still moving, you know what I mean? And I was like, wow, at 30, this is probably really difficult to deal with. And then MJ and LeBron was probably the toughest for me because LeBron is strong and quick, and he's smart, you know? And, you know, so not only you're guarding him, but you're guarding, he's moving the ball places where you got to get a help defense.
Right.
So he's killing you with the pass and killing you when he got the ball. You know what I mean? So that was, like, that was really difficult. Kobe is, he was also, he's like, you know, two or three, I think, because with Kobe, he's just a killer. He got this motor about him. You'll think he's tired and he's not.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just rest for a second, he's gonna get 50 or 60.
Y'all had some battles.
They had battles?
Tell me about how you got on the team. You went to the locker room or something after the loss? better made his way on that damn team.
That story got twisted too, but anyway, in game six.
He met Kobe in the showers or something like that. He ran
after they lost to Boston.
Tell us.
I'll tell you.
Bro, you pulled up on Kobe with his meat. Hey,
It wasn't like that.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you the story.
Like, he's Kobe.
Yeah, you know that's saying? RP, our brother Kobe, for sure.
Yes, but.
Kobe a good dude, man. He a warrior. But so when they lost.
So you walked up in the shower.
What happened? They lose by 30 game six against the Celtics in Boston. I'm at that game. I'm playing with the Sacramento Kings at the time. But Lamar's playing also. So I'm here to like see Lamar. Yeah. Kobe's one of my favorite players, right? So I'm at that game. You know what I mean? And I've never been to the championship before, so I want to see how it's going to feel. This is 2008. So after the game, I want to say, yo, peace out to Lamar. Mainly peace out to Lamar, you know? And then obviously Kobe, if he's like not busy, right? So I get into the locker room somehow. And game 16, I get into the locker room, PJ, I say, what's up to Lamar? Boom, what's up, Lamar, everybody. I see PJ, hey, good job, PJ. Yeah, we're Kobe.
Who's PJ?
Oh, Phil Jackson.
Yeah, come on, bro. Oh, PJ, baby, go.
So I say, hey, I'm the coach, Phil Jackson. We talk for a little bit. And then I see Brian Shaw. You know, because I say, where Kobe at? Phil's like somewhere back there. I see Brian Shaw. And I'm like, yo, where Kobe? I want to say good game, cause I'm about to be out. You know? And he's like, yeah, he's right there. He's in the shower. That's so I was like, yeah, I was, you know, I'm not going to go
in the shower.
I'm just like, hey, yo, my dude, I'm about to be out, but good game, I got to go right now. You know what I mean? I was trying to go to the club, so he was in the shower. I had my shoes got wet, but he was like this, right? So he's like taking a shower. He pissed. Only one in the shower. And he's like this, you know, shower this way. I'm over here. His head is down, just like, you know what I mean? Just lost by 30. You know what I mean? So I tap him on the shoulder. He just turned around with the ice grill, right, like this. And he was shocked, like, what?
What are you doing here?
I said, yo, man, I just wanted to tell you, good game, man. I'm proud of you, man. And I just left.
I thought you said I'm coming here.
Nah, that was a story that got. I was at that game with a Sacramento King jersey. Could I play for the King?
That's a lie, man. He told Kobe, I'm coming.
To play on nobody else's team. I ain't that type of person. I had a Sacramento King.
You came to the game with us.
The team I played for.
Hold on, but time out, bro. Like, I think that's probably.
I ain't lying. He told Kobe, I'm coming here next year.
That's the story that got twisted. That's the story that got
so
twisted.
So all the thing you did was good game? Yeah, Kobe would have said, man, you'll get your ass out of here.
He said,
get your ass away from me, man. Touching me in the shower.
It's running our test, man. It's running our test, man. You know? It's like running our test. Right, he's like, yeah.
What year was this?
This is 2008. It's 2008.
Oh, you still was running on test.
I was. I had a Sacramento King jersey on, shirt, Sacramento hat too. Because I didn't want the Kings to think that I'm trying to go play. I want to play against these guys.
So how'd you get there?
Nah, I got traded to Houston because I wanted to stay Sac. Sac didn't really want to keep me there. So I got traded to Houston. Had a nice year there. T-Mac was there. We had a squad.
Yeah, I went on like a 20-game winning streak, right?
They went on that the year before. Oh, okay. And then this year was the first time they've been out the first round for a long time. But we had a squad. Yao, T-Mac, all this stuff. Play against the Lakers in the semifinals. I average like 25, something like that. And then the next year, I went to the Lakers.
Okay, light bar.
I was trying to go back to Houston, but, you know.
He was not trying to go back to Houston.
I was trying to go back to Houston, but they didn't want to sign me. That's where I wanted to go. I wanted to go back to Houston. I don't want to play, like, no disrespect to any of the players, but I never wanted, I don't like playing with, like, I want to play against these guys.
Because
when you beat them, your legacy's bigger. You know what I'm saying?
So you weren't thinking about getting the ring then?
Oh, I wanted to get a ring, yeah. I almost got a ring in Indiana. We was the best team, best team in the league, 61 wins. I was the man on that team. I wanted to get a ring.
Yeah. Just wanted your own show.
Wow.
No, it's not that I want my own show. I just want to play against
the great.
Yeah, not like I want my own show. I'm a team player. I play defense. Yeah. I pass the ball. I set screens. I can score, but so it's not about like it being about me, but it's like if you can beat LeBron, if you can beat Kobe, it's like it can make my legacy.
So how you feel about all these stars teaming up then over the last, what, 7-8 years?
I'm for it. Yeah, I'm for it, because you can't win in this era by like two stars. You need like three.
Yeah.
While I was with the Bulls, I had a job at 77.
Why?
Because I was doing too much in the streets. I needed something to keep my mind occupied.
Y'all didn't see this?
I was out.
It was out. Quiet storm. This was in the quiet storm.
Yeah, Chicago. It was. But like, this is going, everybody know about Meta.
This one was in the documentary.
The documentary was cracking.
So how did you get the gig? Like, you just walked up to Circuit City and said, hey, I'm Ron Artest. I would love to get a job. Like, what did you do?
Yeah, just like, you know, apply for the job. You go to the manager. And I want to get, my friend was going there every day. And I was going there to buy a lot of DVDs. This is 99. So then my friend got a job there. And I was getting a discount. I was like, oh, this is pretty dope, too. So I could work here, get a discount. You know what I mean? So I got, you know, a 50% discount.
But you make money, though.
Everything.
But you making money.
I'm not making that much money. That's a first round pick. That's
you're in the 1% tech bracket. You're making a lot of money.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it's like a $999,000 rookie year after tax is not a lot of money.
So, but you playing in Chicago, to probably the number two sports market in the U.S.
This is when he was in Indiana, right?
Oh. No, I was working at Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was working at Chicago.
Was people walking up to you like, hey, Ron, can I get a dishwasher? Hey, Ron, can you help me find a... You know what I'm saying?
Sir,
a washer and dryer?
I'm not, nobody really know me like that yet, you know what I'm saying? So they're like, hey, sir, you know where the CDs at? You know what I mean?
So they didn't realize who you were?
Some people didn't. I wasn't even that big, and the Bulls sucked at that time. Jordan just left. So, you know,
right.
You didn't watch the draft, you didn't know who I was, you know?
Right. So staying on basketball, how did you and Kobe, like, create such an amazing bond? You know what I'm saying? Like, Kobe was tough. Like,
yeah.
I see how he treated y'all youngins. You know what I'm saying? But then it was, like, kind of tough. It seemed like it was tough to get into, you know, that circle. But it felt like you guys became family.
Yeah, I mean, the work, the grind, there was, you know, because just going to practice ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I got to practice that first, there was, you know, it was a different level of intensity. Kobe has a different level of intensity also, but I got that one right here. You know what I'm saying? In practice, I'm coming for your neck. And he loved it. You know, I go, like, every possession, like, just to work hard. And that's why I never had issues with him. Even the times when I was playing bad, like, you got to keep in mind, taking consideration, the year before I got there, I was averaging 20-plus. You know, you know what I'm saying? On a team with T-Mac and Yao Ming.
Right.
So when I got to the Lakers, it was a big adjustment. You know what I mean? So... it was a struggle because I was only now averaging 7 points.
Yeah.
In my contract year at 29 years old. You know what I mean? So basically my career is like over.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I had to, in my mind, I was going through a lot, you know, thinking about the future. Like, I'm not gonna have big numbers. I'm gonna, you know, do I leave? Do I stay? So I was going through that whole struggle. So we you know, that type of stuff kind of, because then I was like, you know what, this is about the team, it's not about me.
Right.
So we, you know, and it was about him. Kobe's going to work, killing on offense and defense. Giving it to Powell. Powell's going to work. And we just, you know, sometimes we take 10 shots, sometimes it's two, you know? And we just, you know.
Did you have some classic battles against Kobe in practice? I mean, you know, one of the greatest offensive players ever, and then you, one of the greatest defensive players ever. So I would imagine that you guys went at it in practice and challenged each other.
Kobe's he's just a different level, you know? So the intensity was there. It looked really good. Like, the first part of training camp, we going against each other. You never know what team you're going to be on. All these different drills and stuff. Then sometimes 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So we did match up a little bit, but, you know, he was scoring. You know, I had some good times, you know. I had good possessions, but he was scoring, and you can tell he was tough.
Right.
You know, very tough.
I hear you talking about a lot of things, but you're very detailed when it comes to certain things when you're talking about this. You're smart as hell. Tim, is this got something to do with why you coaching with the G League? What's your plans with coaching?
Yeah, I want to be a head coach. Right? That's my intentions. You know, so I coach all the time. Even when
head
I was playing,
coach of what? What do you want to be a head coach?
NBA.
NBA.
That's my goal, is to be a head coach NBA. Right. It's going to be a little difficult because of my past, whatever, but, you know, I'm not worried about that. I know what I want.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about what people say. You know what I'm saying? Because you just focus on your intentions, man, and that's it. You know, and but even when I was playing with Nick, my last 2 years, I was coaching Palisades. I was going to coach after practice.
Oh.
I coached, we got a championship there at Palisades, with Coach Torino Johnson. So I was going to coach. I knew I wanted to coach. Then the next year when I retired, I knew I didn't want to get into coaching right away because I wanted a break. I wanted to be around my kids. I just want to be home, just like not doing nothing, you know?
Right.
I don't want to run. I don't want to do nothing, you know? So I went to the G League, but, you know, I wasn't really on the bench. I was just like training guys. You know, guys called me 2 a.m, yo, I come to the gym. You know, so that type of stuff. And then I started coaching now. Now I'm coaching Cal State LA, girls team. We're doing pretty well. And, you know, I'm getting into coaching. I like coaching. I love it, so.
Is it different than playing? Like, than playing? Like, just the.
Yeah.
So you get frustrated when you know you could do something and they can't do it? Like.
But that's when you go to practice.
Yeah,
that's where training camp.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so during the season now, but during training camp, you're just like, yo, let's get better. I mean, we in the gym at 7 a.m. I'm up 7 a.m. You want to come?
Are you paid?
Huh?
I can be on the staff?
You can be on the staff.
Yeah. You're always swaggy on the staff.
Swaggy.
You know, right somewhere next to me. It'll take you a little bit. No, but yeah, I love it, man. It's really a joy.
Do you pull inspiration from Phil Jackson? You know, like what's your coaching style?
Yeah, so I love the aspect of the triangle. Golden State used aspects of the triangle, right? With the triangle, why I didn't work in New York? Because they started it when it got over half court. They started it at, you know, a little bit over the three-point line. You got to start it back when you take the ball out 94 feet. So you can have aspects of the triangle. I like Rick Carlisle. I like C, you know, on the corner, on the elbow, hit the elbow guy. But then when you see San Antonio, they move that guy to the top. So San Antonio and the Warriors, they doing a little bit of Phil and a little bit of, you know, Pop.
Pop, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the triangle, with Phil, he put that triangle on the post. They just moving that guy to the top. And before that was Bogut. Now it's Draymond. Bogut and Draymond were sharing that spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't really need a, that's why you can win with a guy like Draymond, but I like that offense. You know what I'm saying? And I like the back cuts. And the way I train is different. You know, in training camp, we working, you know? So it's like, it's fun. I really enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that, you know.
Are you a hard coach? Do you be yelling? Do you make a run?
I'm easy.
Okay.
Alley-oops, do it, man.
All right.
you know, play hard, nutmeg.
You seem like that.
Do what you want. Let's have a good time.
You used to tell us to do that during the practice and stuff.
Huh?
You used to hype us up to do that type of stuff.
Come on,
like,
man.
Be you,
work
man.
In the practice.
Yeah.
I got the most wins in practice. Come on, man. Coach.
I know you used to put it on the board.
Okay.
I don't remember. I'm trying to think.
118. The last day. What did we
do
the last day?
Tell
her, what did we do the last day? to get a point. What game did we play? It was dodgeball.
It was.
Come on, man. It was dodgeball. So check this out.
Dodgeball.
We played dodgeball.
At the last drill in practice.
Luke was cool.
He was cool. Like, y'all ain't win no games. But go tell y'all story. Y'all talking about Luke is cool.
We started off
good. That's what y'all playing dodgeball. Them guys ain't win no games. But go ahead.
So everybody would say this is not real scores because it's practice, but I take practice serious, right? So I had 118 wins, the most wins in practice, okay? And then Tarek had 117.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're not playing. These guys is playing too, so they're not in practice all the time.
Yeah.
But hey, my problem, you know what I'm saying? I can't control that. Then the last day we played dodgeball, Tarek wins dodgeball, is tied 118-118.
Yeah.
That was like the only thing I had to hang on that season.
I remember
I'm like, with a fucking dodgeball game.
So earlier we talked about 2010. 2010 was a big year. Won the championship.
Yep.
Hit the game with a three, boy.
Yeah, that was a big moment.
Big moment in LA.
Damn.
I thought you was gonna miss it. I ain't gonna lie.
You said what?
I thought you was gonna miss it.
I didn't know what was going on.
I was like, no!
That wasn't drawn up for you.
Nah, for sure not.
What'd you say? Phil was like, no!
Yeah, they always tell me don't shoot. A lot of people tell me don't shoot. But you know what? You can't be listening to
that,
man.
That's the confidence, right?
You can't
listen to that. You're the game winner. We forget about that.
Yeah.
You brought up Ron coaching and, you know, highlighting how smart Ron is. And we started that conversation. Like, if you were a coach today, two-part question, what team would you say, you know what, that's the team I want to coach? And then the second part is, if you had to put together a top five, like your starting five, today's game, who you rolling with as a coach?
Well, I think like the first part of that question, it's going to be really hard for me to even get a coaching job, head coaching job. You know what I'm saying? So I knew that. So I would take.
Hold on, time out. Steve Nash did.
Yeah, but the history is a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The, you
know, he white too.
I'm not saying. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying like, for me, it's like, you know,
I love
it's
Nash,
harder so to get.
Nash, my guy.
Huh? Steve?
You play with Nash too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I
played with Nash for a couple years.
I love
and it's
Nash.
Like he got 2-time MVP. You know?
Yeah.
He got a lot of other things that go.
Point guard.
You know, 2-time all defensive player. And
one-time defensive player of the year. I got, you know, I got a little resume, you know?
Right.
I got a little resume.
So it may take you longer.
It may take me.
Okay, so all right.
So I wouldn't be like picky. So I would just
be picky. I'm asking you to be picky.
If you could choose.
Yeah, Darvin Ham just got a job.
Yeah.
You can get what?
Darvin,
I'm just gonna be the assistant. I just wanna be on the staff, man.
That's kind of disrespectful.
not really. I'm just saying Darvin Ham was like, he used to fight and stuff too.
He gonna be good.
Darvin been coaching for 11 years in the NBA.
For real?
Yeah, 11 years.
I didn't know that.
A long time. Assistant coach.
All right, so pick your squad.
All right, cool.
Who you going
my squad.
With and then go to top five.
Okay, so if I could pick a squad, Marcus Smart.
Ooh.
I pick Marcus Smart. I would say Stephen Curry. Mm-hmm. I would say Giannis.
Giannis.
Damn. That's a big
thing. Giannis.
They can play together. Steph, Marcus. So now I need a small forward. I'm going LeBron.
LeBron?
I'm going with LeBron.
He's a point,
he man. He be killing. He got to play small forward. I got Stephen Curry.
Luka, Ja Morant.
I like Ja.
Who else? KD.
I like KD.
Woo. Why that team? Like, you built your team. Why'd you build it that way?
I said a lot of defense on that team.
Yeah. A lot of defense on that team. There's a lot of defense on that team. And I just think, like, Giannis having the opportunity to see a guy just, like, hedge on the screens, get back, close out. That's, like, kind of crazy.
Right.
That's if I had my choice.
Right. All right, if you had to just pick one squad.
A squad?
Dallas. You got Memphis.
Yo. Why you like Dallas so much? You like Luka.
I like
Luka,
squad.
But Luka got to bring others along if he want to win it. It's just like a one-man band right now. That ain't going to get it done.
But he is
but
a
I
man,
love Luka. To me, he's going to be the face of the NBA within 2 years.
No.
Facts.
Tatum? You think
Over Jaw? Why not Jaw?
Tatum. Had the toughest role just now. He put out Giannis. He put out KD and Kyrie.
Yeah.
And now he just put out Jimmy Butler in the Miami Heat.
Yeah, yeah.
Tatum.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
He's really that good, huh?
Yeah, he's nice.
My goodness.
So pick the team then. All right. I'll give you that. You're the basketball. Pick a team.
If I had to pick a team, can I pick two teams or you said one team?
One team.
Damn, y'all be putting the pressure on him. So if I had to pick one team, it'd be the Knicks.
Right. Okay, but he's a homer. Like,
from New York City, man.
Wait, Dolan still is the owner?
Yeah, why not? I mean,
What are they coach now?
You better be a good coach or you won't be lasting there long.
Right. You might be the coach now there.
Huh?
You could probably be the coach now there.
I'm not trying to, I'm not looking for nobody's job, you know what I mean? But if I had my choice, it would be the Knicks.
Look, two.
Or the Pacers, but Rick Carlisle's with the Pacers. I love Rick Carlisle.
2010 was an amazing year for you. You know, win the championship, you change your name to Meta World Peace, became one of the first or the first athlete on a major platform to speak openly about mental health. In your documentary on Showtime, The Quiet Storm, you know, you shared you know, your journey, but you talked about your diagnosis of bipolar disorder, social anxiety. When did you know that you needed help?
Well, I think, but it kind of dates back to, like, I would say when I was 13, my mom first put me in a social worker, like a clinic. I was 13. But then my whole family was always, not my whole entire family, but like some, my dad and my auntie on my dad's side was in psych, my auntie was in psychiatric ward, my dad was functional on medication, you know, and then, and more, you know what I'm saying? So, and then on top of that piece, you had the in the house kind of wild stuff, then you had the stuff in the neighborhood stuff, you know what I mean? So then I was getting in and out of trouble, so my mom put me to a social worker just, you know, to get therapy in the hood. So then I was getting therapy every year, you know what I mean, in college, and you know what I'm saying? Some years, not really. But then when I got to the league, I had so much stress at that time. You know what I mean? So at that point, I was starting to feel depressed and I had anxiety and stuff. So much, you know, so much going on. I was having a good time, but it was a lot. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot taking care of so many people, right? So at that point, you know, and not being home, my family at the time is out in the streets doing wild stuff. You know, so it became too much for me. And then I got into, it's like sports therapy, you know what I'm saying? I started to, cause I wanted to play well. That was my whole thing, like how can I focus on the court, you know, and not focus on other things? So I just, I saw like, at one time I would see like three therapists in a day. You know what I'm saying? Like marriage, parenting, and anger management, you know what I mean? Like all back to back, like just trying to get it right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I had a chance to spend a year out and, they sent me to a place called McLean Hospital in Boston.
And all a crazy house?
Yeah, it ain't a crazy house, but it is a crazy house. You know what I mean? That was my journey, because once you get in trouble in the NFL, they gonna send you there. It's basically you don't have no choice.
You gotta go
here. You know what I mean? So and like I have family that's and have some of the same things that you were saying, and I really didn't know how bad it was until probably the year I got suspended, because I was coping with it by playing with football. You get what I'm saying? And then you take some away from you that you've been playing since 5 years old, 7 years old, and then it's bottled up, and then you got to figure out some kind of way to release it. But it was a good experience for me, though, actually. Probably changed my life, you know what I mean, as far as being a step ahead of everything. Speaking of that, you had a close friend, Lamar, man. I've read everything. I've seen everything. Tell us a little bit about y'all friendship and everything.
Yeah, man. First time I played against Lamar, he was 11. I was an inch taller than him at this time. He's playing the point. And we played in the park in Woodside, no, Ravenswood, right next to Queensbridge Projects. And that's the first time I saw Lamar. And then he also played with Kenny Smith's team, Aim High. So it was a team called Aim High. Lamar Odom. And he still have Aim High to this day, Kenny Smith. So, you know, we was battling, and then we became on the same team. When we got about the age of 13 years old, he grew. He came in freshman year at 6'6", or 6'7". So we like, oh, Lamar grew 5 inches, yo. So this is like, wow, it's crazy. So we known each other for quite some time. He knows some people in my neighborhood and different things like that. And then we started to play on the same team at the age of 14. Me, him, and Elton. Actually, Elton Brand, we're all on the same team. And, you know, we traveled AAU together, you know, did everything together, you know what I mean? And we was just balling, practice was crazy, hard, super intense in practice. And we always was like fighting, like sharing MVPs. One tournament, Lamar get the MVP. Next one, I'm getting the next one. Elton got the most of them. But me and Lamar was like kind of second place.
Well, how was his that winning was the nice. Championship with us in the Lakers? That's like, crazy, I know that was crazy. Man.
It was wild, like winning with Lamar.
Yeah.
Cause we have a real unique relationship, you know, just like basketball. That's how we met, you know, and we like brothers and everything. But we acknowledged it. It wasn't like a super like embrace, like oh my goodness, we did it, man.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't like that, but it was like my dude.
Dope. That was a dope moment.
It was, and he got a chance to present me my ring because they were like doing it in the line or whatever the case may be. So he was like coming next, my brother from Queens. We played with each other. Boom. Oh, and then, you know, gave me the ring and everything, so my guy.
I'm glad you brought up Lamar because, like, maybe the world would say at his lowest moment in Vegas, you were one of the first ones to get there and be by his side. And his story is, you know, well documented. Have you sat down with him and talked to him about mental health? Have, you know, where is he at? How's he doing?
I think he's in a great space right now. Like when you see what he's doing, he's active. You see him on his Instagram, he's out. You know, and different things like that. And I really love where he's at right now. We talk a little bit. You know, we on the phone a little bit. Because sometimes Lamar, he wouldn't answer the phone sometimes. And I wasn't out there with like a lot of my colleagues, you know, like Nick or my NBA colleagues, you know. I wasn't out there a lot also. I was like home and stuff, right? But with Lamar, now he's answering the phone. And now we're like kind of reaching out to each other more versus just like waiting for somebody to reach out, you know. Yeah,
right. You just said he out more. That's funny you said that. Going back to the mental health, explain social anxiety for everybody so they'll understand what's the definition of it.
Well, I don't really know, but I'm assuming, well, actually I do know because I have so much experience in different things like that, but just not being out in front of people fears you. I have some people that I know is fearful of being out in the public, you know, and different things like that. So, but I don't know if that's what Lamar has, but I'm happy he's out. You know what I mean? I'm happy he's out just like living life. You know what I'm saying? He's been through something. Now he's out living life.
Yeah, no, I mean, when social anxiety, I think it's, I mean, athletes have to deal with a lot. You know, Lamar's situation is his situation. Everybody's case is different. But you got like Naomi Osaka. Osaka, she struggles, she breaks down. You know, I think for the first time ever, I mean, you started this conversation in 2010. I came behind you in 2011. Then you had DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Love, a few others. And now you have the last year, 5-6 athletes saying, look, I'm dealing with this. Calvin Ridley, I got to take off the year. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
You have Liz Cambage, right, coming out and sharing her story, leaving the Olympics. And there's so many other athletes. Simone Biles. You got Naomi Osaka. You know, tells the world in 2020, I believe, look, I deal with social anxiety. You know, so I think it is important to push this conversation forward because there's a lot of athletes struggling with it.
Yeah.
You know, when we say, go ahead.
It wasn't always popular, neither. I mean, I got drafted by the Wizards. They had, like, a sports therapist. And, like, we wasn't doing so good, but so they made a couple of us go see her, like the rookies and stuff. And when we went to go see her, like our games got better. Like we started feeling more comfortable. Mm-hmm. We had like a big team meeting out there with the therapist. And she was trying to tell like the Gil and Karan, like the stars, like y'all need to come in and see us. Look what it's doing to Nick and Nick and Andre Blatch. And I just remember getting up and leaving, like, what the hell? You want me to play like Gil? You want me to play like Nick? And they got up and left, and she looking so stupid. I'm like, damn, this is crazy. They just, and at that moment, I felt good. You know, I was like, yeah, they got to play like me. But, because all this Gil put me through, this is like my one shiny moment. Like, as a rookie, you get one shiny moment, and they just, no, it's so bad, but the look on her face when all of them got up and walked out the room, I felt bad for her because her being there.
And she believes in it.
He was one of the guys who walked out?
No. He
wasn't
there. This was like before he came out and said, thank my therapist.
Right.
No, they actually was doing stuff way before 2010.
They was trying to,
for sure.
So what message do you have to land this show? You know, this episode, really appreciate you breaking bread with us, bro. What message do you have for athletes? And if you speak to the athletes, you're really speaking to everyone. But speaking to the athletes, how should they approach their mental health?
I mean, everybody's different. You know, you get some guys coming with different levels of stress and different things, you know. And some people don't really need any help. They got a good team. Everything's in place, you know, which is great. But I would just say, you know, feel comfortable trying to improve yourself.
Right.
Back in the days, you'd be like, you know, I'm not going to let nobody know. You don't have to let people know that you have issues. But if you're going, if you need therapy, do your thing.
Right.
You know, especially if it's going to help you do something really good that you love, like basketball. for me, you know? I mean, it was the greatest feeling ever to actually play well, stress-free, you know? Yeah. And also, there's so many other things that come with being a pro, as we all know.
Yep.
There's so many things that come with it. You know, people you love that you want to take care of, and things you never experienced before. You know, and then you start experiencing things that's not really going to benefit your game. You know, whether you start dabbling with alcohol and different things like that. So just be prepared, like, you know, and start looking for these signals too. If y'all,
you know, signs and symptoms.
A little drinking, a little extra spending. You know, a lot of sex. You know, like different things. You know, could be a sign that, oh, maybe I should go like see a therapist or something.
Yeah.
You know. People, we be, as athletes, we be having so many different addictions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All sorts of addictions and different things like that. That if we could, you know, I mean, pay attention to it, it'd be great. And just have a good time, man, you know? That's what I would say. Keep your family first. Try to stay as humble and grounded as possible.
That's a big word.
Word, you know? When I first came in, I was like, oh, wow, $999,000. You know what I mean? Your rookie year. And like, yeah, you know, then you're out there, like, doing different things.
Yeah.
Buying a lot of alcohol at the bar, you know. Yeah. You know, it's like, that type of stuff is not what got you there. Right? So just stay as grounded and as centered as possible. Right. That's my best advice.
320 million Americans, give or take a few, you know, probably over 100, live with something. It's an important conversation. We'll continue to push it forward. You know, we love talking about mental health, because it affects all of us. All the events going on in the world today, you know, stress is inevitable, right? You don't have to live with the diagnosis to be struggling. So, you know, men, we don't really create spaces enough to have these conversations. You know, we're this machismo approach that we usually take, you know, it really hurts us and holds us back. So we'll continue this conversation. Speaking of addictions, this dude is addicted to Mike and Ice, bro. Bro, you gotta stop eating that stuff, bro.
You used to have a lot of candy.
Ocho versus Cyan, what you got?
You have one?
Ocho.
Ain't nothing wrong with eating Ocho.
He said Ocho. Hey. It ain't nothing, but bro, come on, bro.
I think he used to have a bag of candy, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a big bag.
Who?
Yeah. On a plane, man. Not salmon, not broccoli.
Oh, man, nah, that's because they used to eat beets and shit.
Right. We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. He been riding for the fam, you gotta light the wiggin' wheel straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot to take the test before I pass class.
Yeah.
And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot, and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.